just in case you kind of like, I've not got the message yet, that is the map of the world. And I'm sure you can actually find yourself there, your country, where you come from, where you originate from, they're all there. And, you know, the other day my daughter was asking me, is this the same sun that they see everywhere else in the world? I said, yeah, it is the same sun, it is the same moon, whether you are in Zambia, Nigeria, Ghana, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, it does not matter, it's still the same sun, and it's the same God who's created them all. And therefore, it's to him that we've gathered this morning and to worship. I mean, to give a bit of even a backstory to it, you know, let's take for example, we got Simon there. Simon is from South Africa. We got Dustin as well, both from South Africa, but never knew each other from South Africa. But they came all the way to Chichester, here in Chichester, a great church, because of Jesus. Now they do live together. That is the work of God. I mean, or should we take Tony Dark? One of our amazing elders, an avid Fulham fan. Who would have thought that I'd be doing life together with an avid Liverpool fan in JC? You see, that can only be God. And, you know, football. Well, back to football. Joe was talking about football earlier on. I love football. Hands up if you like football. Any Chelsea fans? Thank you. You see, we connect with each other in different ways. And we've got different hobbies, and we both like. What about baking? Let's leave football for a while. Who likes baking? See, nice. I love baking. Yes, I do. I picked it up during COVID. And ever since, I actually enjoy doing it. I didn't know I would, but I had all the time. I thought, well, why not? But now I bake all sorts of things. Sometimes I just say, come on, guys, let's just bake some things. Get into the kitchen, rust some things up, and it comes out nice. Hey. So what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say we connect with each other. We all got hobbies. We come from different nationalities. But we got hobbies that we connect together with. But ultimately, the thing that connects us together, what brings us all together, what unites us, what made us to walk through the doors of Grace Church at one point or the other, or should I say who, is Jesus. Okay, maybe some of us actually came into church coming chasing after a girl or chasing after a boy, or maybe it's because of your children that you actually came into church. But what keeps us coming back again and again, and what will ever keep you back coming back, is Jesus. Even from the word we came, that came this morning from Andy, he was saying exactly the same thing. You might have come in here because of your parents that brought you in, or because you came in with your boyfriend or a girlfriend. But Jesus wants you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to turn your life around. He wants you to enjoy the beauty that's in his kingdom. And that's what he's doing here this morning. That is what we can see a bit of it this morning. So whether you've come from Selzy, or you come from Zambia or Gambia or Paris, God knew beforehand that you are going to be here on the 18th of May, celebrating the International Sunday here right now in Chichester. What an amazing God we serve. What an awesome God. Now, it is pretty easy to take this for granted, just to think that it happens. But I believe there's a reason for these in God's divine plan. There are churches in and around Chichester, and even in the more diverse, bigger cities like London or Manchester that do not enjoy the multinational influence that we have in our church today. So yes, I agree that it does happen, and it does happen in some other churches, but it's not a coincidence that it is happening in Grace Church and that you are a part of it, every single one of you, me included. Now, the question we can ask ourselves is, why is it happening in Grace Church, and why is it happening now? While we see more and more people coming into the church from diverse nations, well, we can say it is because we have an amazing welcome team, which we do, which I believe we do. Or could we say it's because of the, you know, the excellent teaching that we hear from our elders? Or is it the great works that Tea and Coffee, what they do? Or the amazing band that we've got? As great and as awesome as all wonderful as all these groups of people are, you and I know that that is not the main reason. That is not the reason why we're seeing more and more different nationalities being represented at Grace Church. It is simply a gift from God. And therefore, we should not take it for granted. We should celebrate it. And that is why today, a day like this, is just sublime. And this should become the norm, where we celebrate each other's differences and cultural background, even as we come in worship of our God who has made it all possible. I know there might be people out there, some thinking that this is not the kind of thing. I think we're all different in our ways. But I pray for you, and I pray for every one of us, that we see the beauty of this, and that over time the Holy Spirit would work with you and take you along as well to see what God is doing, so that we lift our eyes off ourselves and onto Him who is doing the great work. Like Christ said, He said, not my will. That God works in us to that point that we know that all we want to see is Jesus lifted up, His will being done, His purpose on earth, His purpose for Grace Church, Chichester, to be done. So, the question then is, what do we do with this beautiful gift that we have? If you take my kids, for example, at Christmas, when you give them some beautiful Christmas gifts, you can always tell by how they appreciate the gift from their facial expressions and what becomes of the gift afterwards. And likewise, even some of us adults, maybe you've received that 101 bubble baths gift or Christmas socks, that's a common one. You can always tell from the expression what kind of gift it is. But what I'm saying here is the way we receive and the way we act over something depends on how we appreciate that particular gift. So, Grace Church, what God is doing here is a great gift from God, and we should cherish and we should nurture it. So if you have your Bible with me, let's open to Revelation chapter 7. We're going to read from verse 9 to 10. And it's also displayed on the screen behind me, so if you'd like to read along from the screen. So he says, after these, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. From that passage, we can clearly see that unity is not uniformity. God's vision for His people is not that we all look the same, speak the same, or come from the same background. Rather, it is that we are united in purpose, in spirit and in love, whilst embracing the beautiful diversity God created, with each one bringing his or our flavor in Christ to the table and being celebrated in love. Revelation 7 gives us a glance into eternity. It talks about a great multitude, too vast to count, made up of every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, all united in worship before the throne of God. And we at Grace Church now have this privilege of enjoying this blessing as a foretaste of what is to come. The passage gives us a glimpse of God's heart, and it reveals to us that heaven celebrates diversity. So we also should. We can see from this passage
that the very fabric of heaven includes every ethnic group, every cultural expression, and every language. The passage doesn't say there was a crowd that was blended into one culture. No. John noticed the diversity because it was visibly and audibly present. They were not worshiping in one language. They were worshiping in their languages, different dialects, together. I mean, if you take my Nigeria, where I'm from originally, for example, there are over 520 languages in that country. And I speak Yoruba, which is one of the major languages there, and even that is broken further down into about 20 dialects. That even sometimes, someone that speaks Yoruba could speak that Yoruba that probably would not understand what he's saying. If we take Owo, for example, they'll speak that, but you don't. But we've got worship songs. We've learned some, particularly in the church, to blend those songs in those worship songs, and it's always powerful and beautiful, like we experienced this morning. And that is what God is calling us to express ourselves in love with him, not to segregate one another or to be disunited, but he wants us united in love. And that is what this passage, which is a glimpse of what heaven looks like, is telling us about. The passage also points our attention to the real deal, that our unity comes from Jesus. Despite all this diversity, their language, different dialects, they were united in one voice. Their focus and their attention were the same. They were declaring the same thing. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. That is what they were declaring. That is what their focus was. No matter what language they were speaking, no matter what dialect, no matter what they were doing, the focus remained exactly the same about the Lamb of God. Their worship is not divided. Their different culture or languages, it is united by the Lamb, Jesus Christ. It also talks about people wearing different white robes and palm branches. Palm branches usually symbolize victory, celebration, kingship, as we see with Jesus' triumphal entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The diverse crowd that John saw had come from every nation, but were united in purpose. Their focus was the throne and the Lamb, celebrating Jesus' kingship, having been publicly enthroned for all to see as the Lord of all through the ultimate victory over sin and death. So Jesus' ultimate victory was what they were celebrating. That was the celebration it was all about. That it wasn't about where they came from. Even though that was good, but they were all celebrating Jesus' victory. The fact that he's done that for us. And that is what clarifies why they were wearing white robes as well. Because white robes symbolizes purity, righteousness, again, holiness, which is the transformed state of all believers who have been cleansed of sin and made acceptable before God through faith in Christ. The reason why they could wear that white robe is because of what Christ has done. And that's why they were all celebrating, for that same reason. That was the reason why they were all gathered. Now, we are not ignorant of the fact that we live in a world that often divides by race, by class, by gender or nationality. And sometimes this culture can try to creep in into the church. But as a church and as a people, we must continue to be the true bride of Christ. Being impactful, influencing the world, not the other way around. Declaring and living by the truth. And we at Grace Church, we must continue to demonstrate this truth as well. I remember Joe preaching into this when he was highlighting to us as a church that we should have diversity without disunity, that we should be welcoming without favoritism, hospitality without convenience, and integration without assimilation, which is beautiful and great things to do as people of God. But These are amazing and godly things to do. But if we don't continue to re-emphasize them and be deliberate in doing them, they will only be a great thing on paper. So that's why I'm bringing it to you again this morning. We've got to have it at our forefront. We've got to try as much as possible to keep living by them. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, reminded us of these so well. From verse 11. If you got your Bible, we could read it as well. But this is just reminding us of all of this that we've seen in Revelation, to remind us where we're coming from. So Paul said, therefore remember. Paul is telling us to always remember whenever disunity or segregation or division tries to raise its ugly head. He said, therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Isn't it amazing that every division, every disunity or segregation has its root in the flesh? From what we see there as well. And that is why our focus should always be on Jesus, on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The minute we move to the flesh, that's what will give room for these things. And that's what that passage is talking about. He said, from the flesh. Verse 12, he said, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope, without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So no matter what, no matter what nationality, no matter what background that we have, we're all foreigners to this kingdom, but for the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus is what qualifies us. The blood of Jesus, it is because of Jesus that we are all here. Not because of our nationalities, not because of our social class, or because of our dancing or singing, which was great, but that's not why we're here. No, it's because of him who gave himself up to rescue us and to honor us with his Spirit, and he gave us his name. So we should always remember that in all our dealings with one another. We should always try and remember that. Verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with his commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Jesus is the string that ties us all together. But this does not erase our identity. Rather, it redeems it. It binds us together by something deeper, something stronger, something more powerful than our differences. The blood of Jesus. So, having said that, how do we now live out this, our unity? One, by celebrating our cultural expressions. Again, like we have done this morning. Embrace the food, the music, the language, the customs of others. We shouldn't fear them, but learn from them as long as the focus always is to edify Jesus. Two, let's listen and learn. Unity grows when we take time to understand the stories and the struggles of people different from us. Then we can be more united. Three, let's stand against division. As the people of God and as the church, we must speak boldly against racism, against prejudice, and any system that tries to divide. Our ministry,
is the ministry of reconciliation. And we should always do that in every situation. And lastly, let us worship together. When we worship, let us worship across differences. By that, I mean, let's worship across style, across language, across tradition, so we can truly demonstrate the kingdom of God as pictured in Revelation 7 that we read. A united kingdom, one church. Though we are from many nations, though we speak different languages, we are just many parts of one body. As believers, we should not be an island of strangers, but a people of one mind, one purpose in Christ. So the Word of God, as we have seen in today's passage, assures us that God's kingdom is bigger than our borders, is bigger than our languages and our histories. God is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So let us continue to be a church that looks like heaven, where every nation, every tribe, every people, every language is welcomed and valued and united in declaring salvation belongs to our God. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Because that is where our power lies, in unity. Just as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are united in one purpose. And so, what better way can we demonstrate that this morning? Except by coming to the table of Jesus Christ. In a short while, we're going to take Holy Communion. But the Holy Communion, this table is not for everybody. But we serve a God that is ever so inviting, wanting everybody to come and enjoy this beautiful thing. This beautiful thing in the kingdom, this beautiful thing that we're experiencing here, even at Grace Church. So this is your opportunity, and this is your invite. If you would like, even from everything that we've said so far, if you would like to give your life to Christ, if you think want to take that step, or you want to even get closer in relationship with him to enjoy the beauty of this Lord, this is your opportunity. There are elders, there are leaders in front here that will pray along with you. But let's do that, if you're able to do that, so you can partake of the table as we partake of that table this morning as well. So I'm just going to pray and pray into all of that, and then hopefully we can all enjoy the table of the Lord. Father, Lord, we just thank you. We worship and we glorify your name. We thank you that indeed it is because of you that we've all gathered from different nations, different tribes. We can be friends, we can joke about everything, we can enjoy and do life together because of you. There's so many nations here, so many people from different walks of life. Father, Lord, would you come even right now and minister to every heart and let us receive of you, O Lord. Come and visit us even as we enjoy your table and declare that you are the one who has saved us. You are the one who is doing this beautiful thing in our lives. Come, O Lord, we do pray in Jesus' name.